Hello and welcome to our online press conference. I'm Tom Pelton of the Environmental Integrity Project. And today, we and our partners at Earth Justice will be releasing our new national report about coal ash pollution. It's titled Poisonous Cover-Up: The Widespread Failure of the Power Industry to Clean Up Coal Ash Dumps. The report is available on our website at www.environmentalintegrity.org. and also on the Earth Justice website. Today, we're going to have six speakers and then take questions from reporters. Our first speaker is going to be Abel Russ, senior attorney with the Environmental Integrity Project and co-author of the report. His co-author is Lisa Evans, who will speak second. She's also senior attorney, but with Earth Justice. Next, from Maryland, we'll hear from Fred Tutman, the Patuxent Riverkeeper. Then from Indiana, Tim Maloney, senior policy director from the Hoosier Environmental Council. Next, from Arizona and New Mexico, Robin Jackson, interim executive director of Diné Care, which is Citizens Against Ruining Our Environment in the Navajo Nation. And finally, from Wyoming, we have Michelle Irwin, community organizer with the Powder River Basin Resource Council. After those speakers, we're going to open it up to questions from reporters. And so let's get started. Our first speaker is Abel Russ, senior attorney with the Environmental Integrity Project and co-author of the report. Go ahead, Abel.
Thanks, Tom. And good morning, everybody. So coal ash, which is the waste product left behind after you burn coal, is one of the two largest industrial waste streams in America. We've been burning coal for over 100 years. And as a result, we've generated literally billions of tons of coal ash. There's something like 5 billion tons of coal ash stored, disposed of in places all over the country. And we continue to generate about 70 million tons of coal ash every year. The stuff is full of toxic chemicals. There are at least six neurotoxins in coal ash, like lithium. There are five or six known or suspected carcinogens, things like arsenic. And there are a bunch of pollutants that are toxic to aquatic life as well. And this stuff frequently migrates into streams and lakes. Most coal ash disposal areas are fairly primitive. They're not lined or they're poorly lined, and it's very easy for contaminants to escape into the environment. And so with billions of tons of poorly managed toxic waste all over the country, you have obviously the potential for a big pollution problem. Sometimes these problems are quite dramatic. So in 2008, there was a catastrophic spill of a coal ash disposal unit in Tennessee, in Kingston, Tennessee. And it sent over 5 million tons of coal ash spilling into rivers, knocking homes off their foundations, and bringing a lot of attention to coal ash that it hadn't received before. There have been a couple of other spills since. And as a result of that, and a result of a lot of advocacy from environmental organizations who are trying to draw attention to groundwater contamination, which is probably the more pervasive threat, and in response to some litigation from the environmental community, EPA wrote the first regulation for disposal of coal ash, called the Coal Ash Rule, in 2015. And this report evaluates what we know now after the implementation of that coal ash rule, which is ongoing. Really, we have in our report two kinds of information. There's groundwater monitoring data, that's what I'm going to talk about. And then there's compliance with the coal ash rule, or really non-compliance with the coal ash rule for the most part. And that's what Lisa from Earth Justice is going to talk about after me. So we at EIP have been evaluating groundwater data at coal plants for many years. This report is specifically looking at the data the industry reported as an obligation of the coal ash rule. So they monitor their groundwater with their own wells. They report that data on public websites. And we looked at all of that data from 2015 up to 2019. That's as far as we've gotten. So that's the time period for 292 power plants, 548 coal ash disposal areas across the country. And we looked at all that data and tried to figure out which ones were contaminating the environment. And it appears to us that at least 91% of those coal plants are contaminating the environment. So 265 out of the 292, with unsafe levels of multiple coal ash constituents usually. It's rarely limited to a single pollutant, I was gonna say. The majority of sites have unsafe levels of at least four pollutants, which is one of the reasons why we try to focus on the cumulative risk created by exposure to multiple contaminants at once. But that said, there are some pollutants, contaminants that rise to the top of the list. Most sites have unsafe levels of arsenic, which is a carcinogen and a neurotoxin. Most sites have unsafe levels of boron, which is toxic to developing children and to aquatic life when it gets out into the environment. Most sites have unsafe levels of lithium, which is a neurotoxin. And you can say the same about molybdenum, sulfate, cobalt is present at almost half of sites at unsafe levels, and that's toxic to the blood and the thyroid. So there are a lot of these pollutants at a lot of these sites all over the country. As an example of how bad it can get, one site you might think about is the Newcastle Generating Station in West Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, where there's an 80-year-old, 120-acre coal ash pond. And on top of it, they built a coal ash landfill. And according to the owner, the coal ash landfill is the regulated unit, and the coal ash pond is not regulated. It's actually not true. The coal ash pond is meant to be regulated as well, and that's one of the compliance problems that Lisa will talk about. But on the contamination side, that site has arsenic levels that are up to 370 times greater than safe levels of arsenic, lithium levels that are up to 54 times greater than what's safe for lithium, and several other pollutants that are present at unsafe levels. On the contamination side, that's fairly typical. We see this a lot. There are some pollutants that are present at very high concentrations. So in short, almost all coal ash plants in the country are contaminating the environment. The coal ash rule was designed to figure out how bad the contamination is. And on that front, it has succeeded. We have a lot of information about a lot of sites, and we know how widespread the problem is. But of course, the rule is also meant to do something about the problem and stimulate cleanup and corrective action. And we're not seeing that as much as we should be seeing. Even though 91% of these sites are contaminated, only a handful, 4% of the total, 11 sites, have committed to a specific cleanup plan that includes groundwater treatment. So we're not seeing the compliance take these plants from detecting a problem to fixing the problem. And that's just due to a whole variety of forms of noncompliance on the part of the industry that we can talk about in more detail after. Before I hand it over to Earth Justice, I just want to mention two resources. First, we continue to update our ASH Tracker database, which you can find at ashtracker.org. And this is an interactive mapping tool that allows you to see where the contamination is for specific pollutants at a site that you're interested in. Thank you, Caroline. Some of the sites on ASH Tracker are not covered by the coal ash rule and vice versa, but for the most part, it's the same universe of plants. Second, we ranked all of the power plants in our database according to the severity of contamination, and that's how we got our top 10 most contaminated sites. But the whole ranked list is available in our report. I think it was in a link in this press release. We have it online as a spreadsheet that you can download and sort and filter. But there's an important caveat about that list that I want to say, which is some of those low-ranked sites are not necessarily clean. They might be ranked low because they don't have enough monitoring wells, and so they don't actually have the right kind of data, or they're using contaminated background wells, which make it statistically impossible to find contamination, and our algorithm would count that as not contaminated, even though it really is. So there are a lot of reasons why a plant might be low on the list, aside from it being clean. So I just want to put a word of caution there. Just because a site is ranked low doesn't necessarily mean that it's clean. You can read more in the report about how this can happen with regard to the Stanton plant in Florida, for example. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Lisa. Happy to take questions after.
Thanks so much, Abel. And I think we also have a map that Earth Justice put together showing locations of sites and some compliance information. We could put a little link to that. As you listen to this event today, reporters, take a look at these maps, like the compliance map link that Earth Justice just put up there, and you can find all the coal ash sites near you that are in our report, and it's a very good resource. Now we're going to turn it over to Lisa Evans, senior attorney with Earth Justice and co-author of our report. Go ahead, Lisa.
Thank you, Tom, and thank you to everyone who's joining us today. Quite simply, most U.S. coal plants are violating the law that requires toxic waste cleanup. These plants are making people sick and hurting the environment. Our report documents the industry's widespread refusal to clean up the toxic mess they've made. Coal plants are polluting the nation's water illegally and getting away with it. Industry data compiled in our report establishes that almost every regulated coal plant, 91%, is poisoning water with hazardous toxins and doing little or nothing to restore it. This is illegal. 7 years ago, EPA established the federal coal ash rule that requires plants to cease dangerous dumping and clean up the pollution they caused. But astonishingly, we found 96% of coal plants are not pursuing any groundwater treatment at all. Hundreds have plans to leave toxic waste in or near aquifers. Only one of the 265 coal plants that have poisoned groundwater is planning a thorough cleanup. Only one. By examining industry's own documents, we found that power companies are recklessly leaving toxic ash in water, illegally manipulating data to cover up the pollution, knowingly proposing cleanup remedies that will not stop the problem, and illegally delaying cleanup for years. I'm going to describe what's happening and will cite some statistics on how many plants are violating the rule and how they're employing various evasive measures. All the statistics are in the bulleted part of your press release. First, power companies are illegally leaving toxic ash in groundwater when closing ash ponds. When coal ash is in contact with water, hazardous pollutants are released regardless of any cap that may be placed over the ash. This is why the coal ash rule prohibits closure that leaves ash in groundwater. But industry is planning to close 200 ponds in place where ash is dangerously close or sitting in groundwater. Like a toxic tea bag darkening your cup, closing these ponds with waste and water guarantees that hazardous chemicals like arsenic will continue to escape. By law, coal plants must remove the waste. People live next to these ponds. People drink the groundwater. Families use the lakes and streams next to these ponds. Leaving ash and groundwater will make people sick and harm the water they depend on. Second, most power companies are illegally failing to clean up the water they have contaminated. And let's break that down. There are 265 plants in 43 states that have contaminated groundwater with coal ash. As I stated, 96% of these plants are not pursuing any treatment of the contaminated water. At nearly half of the contaminated plants, 123 plants, owners have denied responsibility and are not planning to do any cleanup at all. For the other half, 142 plants, only 38 have committed to a specific cleanup plan, despite the requirement to select a remedy as soon as feasible. Again, the coal ash rule requires that plants that admit contamination select a remedy as soon as feasible. But to make matters worse, most of the 38 plants that have committed to what they call a final cleanup plan are relying on an almost always illegal sham plan called monitored natural attenuation, which means the companies will just watch as the toxic pollution continues to seep into the groundwater and flow offsite. The bottom line is that for hundreds of toxic ponds and landfills, industry is resisting or delaying cleanup, and that delay has been going on for years. Third, power companies are deliberately hiding coal ash pollution. Plants employ a variety of tricks to twist the facts and escape responsibility. We explain in our report how owners deliberately use contaminated background wells, which make it hard to find or impossible to find statistical evidence of contamination. Plants claim that the water on their property was already contaminated with coal ash toxins and that their dumping did not cause the problem. Second, plants routinely leave large areas of dump sites unmonitored. Third, plants take too few samples or knowingly sample in the wrong places. Fourth, plants use illegal statistical methods to hide contamination. And lastly, many owners falsely and without evidence blame coal ash contamination on other unspecified sources. This utility industry refusal to stop coal ash pollution harms our most vulnerable communities. Most coal plants are located in areas that are either low income or non-white or both. In fact, 70% of the 200 ponds that utilities are planning to close in or dangerously close to groundwater are in communities that are poor or Black or brown. This is environmental injustice. Despite the harm, plant owners illegally avoid cleanup and safe closure. Why? Because they simply don't want to pay for it. And with nearly no enforcement, utilities can walk away. This reckless industry behavior is short-sighted. Plant owners believe they are saving money, but the pollution of the nation's water resources will worsen. As time passes, pollution spreads, damage increases, and the problem becomes harder and more expensive to solve. Today, we ask for action and accountability. First and foremost, we need enforcement. The utility industry cannot police itself. Faced with the decision of saving money or complying with life-saving safeguards, most utilities are choosing simply to violate the rule. Pennies over people has always been the norm when coal ash is concerned. Second, state and federal agencies must immediately stop industry from illegally closing ash ponds and water. Toxic ash must be removed, and the window is closing to protect hundreds of communities nationwide. Third, all drinking water wells within a half mile of coal plants must be tested. We know most coal plants have contaminated the underlying aquifer. We cannot repeat Flint, Michigan. Safe drinking water is a human right, and fence-lined communities must be protected. Fourth, EPA must expand the coal ash rule to address hundreds of legacy ash ponds and inactive landfills, and require utilities to clean up coal ash wherever and whenever they dumped it. Lastly, EPA must provide technical assistance to communities so that they have the tools to protect their health and environment. Finally, as Tom and Abel mentioned, along with this report, EarthJustice has developed a database that lists every regulated coal plant, every landfill, and every pond in the US and presents critical information concerning the plant's coal ash disposal. In this database, you can find out whether a plant is contaminating groundwater and how much the water exceeds safe standards. You can determine whether a plant is attempting to hide the contamination. You can see whether the plant is closing its pond dangerously close or in groundwater, and you can see whether the plant is illegally delaying cleanup. And there's much more information in addition to these really important points. Our database is published with a map that provides a satellite view of every plant and dump site, and all of this information is available in a link in our press release. So we hope that community and public interest groups, as well as EPA and the states, will use this information to fight for clean water and the health and safety of every community.
Thanks. That was Lisa Evans, co-author of the report and senior attorney at EarthJustice. And the links she's talking about are also in the chat in the right-hand side of your Zoom screen there. Check those out and dig into those databases and maps to see your local coal ash sites.